great future priest, Deacon Abba Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, today we're going to be talking about this growing problem in society, and it's the drugs and drinking. Now, it's taking more and more lives each day. But where did drunkenness originate from? If you can turn over to Revelations 17 and look at verse 2. It says, "And with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, practiced idolatry, God worship, the worship of Elohim, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." And this her it's speaking about here is Satan. And then, if you look at verse 6, it says, "And I saw this woman, the Satan, drunk with the blood of the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Yahshua. And when I saw her, I wondered with great astonishment." So, she's here, she's drunk, and she's teaching this drunkenness to the inhabitants of the earth. Now, and one day she's teaching it is like with this friends don't let friends drive drunk campaign. They say that the friends they'll let them get drunk, but they'll drive them home afterwards. But true friendship wouldn't let your friend get drunk. No, praise Yahweh. Now, drunk means more than just alcohol. It could be like overwhelmed with strong influence or emotion. And Satan likes to play on your emotions. Now, but this is what Yahweh says about drunkenness. If you can turn over to Ephesians 5 on page 919. And it says, if you look at verse 17, it says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of Yahweh is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And remember, the Spirit is the character of Yahweh. The Spirit of Yahweh is the character of Yahweh. So be filled with the character of Yahweh. But because of what Satanist teaches, this is what occurs. This is an article from the NCAD, it's the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Independence. Now, it gives some statistics, and the name of the article is 2.5 million alcohol-related deaths worldwide annually. And it says the harmful use of alcohol results in the death of 2.5 million people annually, causes illness and injury to millions more, and increasingly affects younger generations and drinkers in developing countries. And it says nearly 4% of all deaths are related to alcohol. 6.2% of male deaths are related to alcohol, compared to 1.1% of female deaths. And then it says almost 50% of men consume alcohol, and one-third of women do. So that would mean that two-thirds of women do consume alcohol. And alcohol is the world's third largest risk factor for disease burden. It's the leading risk factor in the Western Pacific and America, and it's the second largest in Europe. And it has a list of the 19 health concerns, and alcohol is ranked number 3. In the year 1998, in the U.S. alone, now it's much higher, But the United States smoked, snorted, inhaled, injected, and swallowed more than a quarter of $1 trillion in illegal drugs. And the United States each year spends over $4,400 billion for alcohol. That's half $1 trillion in alcohol usage. Now, if you can turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5, and look at, we'll start at verse 5. And it says, "You are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep in the night, and those who are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet the hope of salvation." Okay? And remember, the light is the laws of Yahweh. So let's be the children of the light. Now, Pastor's giving us the many tools to stop this problem. And he's spreading the message about it. For example, this book. Now, the world has many solutions that they've came up with. For example, the taxation on alcohol. And to bring in the money to their pockets and using effective drunk driving methods. And tickets haven't worked, because that's two of their solutions that aren't working. But this is what will. We need to teach them. Teach them to practice self-control with their emotions, to use moderation, and to practice self-control in all they do. But we in the house of Yahweh shouldn't be consuming alcohol anyway, so we shouldn't have this problem. Now, if you can turn over to Romans, sum all this up. Romans 13. And look at verse 11. It says, "And do this, understanding the present time. For the hours come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost over. The day is almost here. So let us throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in sexual impurity and in debauchery, not in strife and envy. Rather, humble yourself to our ruler, Yahshua Messiah, and put a stop to providing for the lust of the flesh." And with that, that's all the time I have today. And with that, I'll turn it over to great Deacon David Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. I'd like to begin by sharing something that occurred recently, this past week, in fact. I had the opportunity to speak with a man that was inquiring on how to become a teacher of the peaceful solution. And what he wanted to do was learn how to teach others to teach. He wanted to teach educators. So in speaking with him and finding out a little bit about his background, it's fairly interesting because the man had a BA in a comparable religion through Brown University and a Master's of Divinity from Harvard. Now, the comments that came from this man when I was speaking with him was that we need universal morals. In retrospect, he said, we need universal morals, morals that don't separate. He said, you know, in all my time and studies, I've seen where religion actually separates rather than brings together in unity. He said, we need universal morals that do not separate. Morals that everybody can agree upon. And already I'm thinking about building moral excellence, where it says, you know, the peaceful solution does teach universal morals that everybody can agree with. So he sees that the peaceful solution is indeed needed in this world today, that it transcends all boundaries. Now, in the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, you'll read where it says that the purpose of character education is to introduce, now I want you to remember that word, introduce the student to the concept of moral principles. To introduce the student to the concept of moral principles. Now, I looked up the word introduce, and introduce means, get this, to bring forward a plan. This is in the American Heritage Dictionary, to bring forward a plan for consideration. Of course, we know that's Yahweh's plan that's being brought forth. Continuing on in the dictionary, I looked up consideration, and it means thoughtful concern for others. So I looked back at this, and the note in the Peaceful Solution was that the purpose of character education is to introduce the student to the concept of moral principles. And to introduce being to bring forward a plan for consideration, a plan for thoughtful concern to others. And so it is that the Peaceful Solution is indeed that, a plan for thoughtful concern to others. And if you will, please, please turn with me to Titus 3:3 on page 941. Titus 3:3 on page 941. It's evident that we need the peaceful solution, even in our own lives. Titus 3:3 on page 941 reads, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another." And the last time I had the opportunity to speak, we talked a little bit about that hatred and how easy it is to get involved with that, with just the tormenting, the annoying, the poking fun at, they call it, the teasing. That is actually showing hatred. So I'd like to share with you a book. Maybe y'all don't have your copy yet. But this is the 13th Book of Israel, Part 3. I hope it'll soon be available. The 13th Book, Part 3. I'll explain to you why that one's named that in just a minute, okay? The introduction of this book, which is, of course, the second book of Israel, okay, going on to perfection. But I like to call it the 13th Book, Part 3, because it's needed now more than ever in our lives. Now more than ever, going on to perfection, we need to focus on these principles that have been taught to us even way back in 1991 when Pastor put this together. The sermons that are in here, the ones in particular that I'm dealing with, were written in 1991. And so I looked up 1991 just out of curiosity, and the Hebrew 1991 in Strong's stands for abundance and wealth. And of course, it does have an abundance of character education in it, an abundance of learning how we treat each other. In the Greek, it also means to support further, as in reestablishing, confirming, and strengthening. So as we go on to perfection, what better book to take on the title of the 13th Book of Israel, Part 3, than the one that can take us on to perfection if we go back and study these great principles in there, study these laws, study the teachings that Pastor has given us. In that book, on page 37, and I'm just going to shorten it a little, it says, it's talking about the hatred that comes, and it says, "Needless to say, this hatred is for our training and testing to see if we can actually have hatred displayed toward us and still praise and bless our enemies, to do righteousness to those who despitefully use us and persecute us. Even if it is a brother, forgive him. This is our test to see if we can do this." Now listen to this. "If we cannot do it, we will not get in this kingdom. If we cannot learn how to treat our brothers properly, we will not get in this kingdom, because the kingdom is going to be the perfect peace operation." So then on page 1 of the same book, and this is Love for the Brother, it's a sermon at 727-91, Pastor says, in verse 44, I say to you, or the law says to you, Yahweh's law said this years before Yahshua, I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do well to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Okay? So, moving on here, let's go to page 959 in the book of Yahweh. That's 1 Kefa 3:8 on page 959. And we'll see how necessary this is. I like to talk about this quite a bit on how we treat our brothers. It helps me, and Yahweh willing, everyone else is helped by it, to bring remembrance to our minds of how we need to be, of how we need to be like Yahshua. 1 Kefa 3:8 says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, full of brotherly love, sympathetic and courteous. Okay? Sympathetic and courteous, full of brotherly love. And then this, let's turn to Hebrews 10:24 on page 949. Page 949, Hebrews 10:24. It says, and let us consider one another, how we may urge one another on towards love and righteous works. Let us consider one another. And remember, being considerate, considering one another, consideration towards one another. Consideration, you know, showing that that true care and concern, the thoughtful concern for others. And turn, if you will, to page 884, which is Romans 14:13. Page 884, Romans 14, verse 13. And therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, set your mind not to put any stumbling block or an occasion of falling in our brother's way. Set our mind on that, to not put any stumbling block or any occasion of falling in our brother's way. Let's do everything we can to make sure that we help our brother. Colossians 3:13 on page, or Colossians 3:13, yes, on page 927. Verse 12 says, therefore, as the elect of Yahweh, holy and beloved, put on compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Be patient with one another and forgiving one another. Being patient. So I looked up the word patient, and that word, It's an amazing word, actually, and it means, in the American Heritage again, bearing or enduring pain, difficulty, provocation, or annoyance with calmness, marked by or exhibiting calm endurance of pain, difficulty, provocation, or annoyance. One who receives medical attention, care, or treatment. Get that? Patient, patience, patient. One who receives medical attention, care, or treatment, and also, from Latin, one who suffers. So being one that suffers, being patient with one another, being a patient, if you will, with one another, a patient that needs medical attention. And you know, the medicine is right here. The medicine is right here in the books of Israel. The medicine is in the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. And the doctor is Israel Hawkins. And the healer is Yahweh. Yahweh is our healer. The doctor, which comes from a Latin word, docere, means to teach. So Israel Hawkins is our doctor, our teacher. This is the medicine to heal us with, to heal the hearts and minds. That's what it's all about. So we need to continue on and be patient with one another and be a patient with one another and let the doctor heal us. And with that, if you'll all please stand, it's my great honor and privilege to present to you the great Kohen Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my sermonette today is called, Get a Grip. Get a Grip. Woo, sorry about that. If you would turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 20. Deuteronomy 10:20. This is based on the law, hold fast to Yahweh, which is law number 6. Get my trusty spectacles out. Deuteronomy 10 verse 20 on page 156 says, you shall revere Yahweh your Father and serve Him, hold fast to Him, and take your oaths in His name. Also along those lines, if you could turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20. But we'll read verse 19 first. He says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day, that I have set before you life, the tree of life, the house of Yahweh, and the 613 laws that are taught here in the prophecies, and death. That's the Catholic Church. That's the city that sits on seven hills where this woman rules from. This city is that great woman, that's that city, the city of Rome. He says, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses, because you are free agents to make your own choice between righteousness and evil. Therefore, choose life so both you and your children may live. Verse 20, so you may love Yahweh your Father. Now watch how you love Yahweh. By listening to him, listening, and remember, listening with a believing mind as well. Hold fast listening to him and then obeying him. As the great apostle Jacob said, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Hold fast to him, for he is your life, and he will also give you many years in the land he vowed to give your fathers to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's speaking of this great kingdom that's coming soon. Okay, now turn over to, I'm going to give you an example. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. I want to give you an example of a man who held fast to Yahweh, where Yahweh gives testimony of him. 2 Kings, we're looking at 18, verse 5 and 6, where it reads, Hezekiah, the king, trusted in Yahweh, the father of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him nor after him. He held fast to Yahweh and did not turn. Now watch how he held fast to Yahweh. He held fast to Yahweh and did not turn from following him. He did not turn. He kept his commandments, which Yahweh had commanded through Moshe. Now notice verse 7. Because he held fast to Yahweh, which all of you are doing here today, Yahweh was with him. So he succeeded wherever he went. Everywhere, everything he put his hands to do, he had success, even as our great pastor does today. If you ask at Abel and you're sent out on a mission, any sort, if you have the house of Yahweh's blessings, you will succeed in all that you set your hand to do with that guidance of our great pastor, Israel Hawkins. Now, what do we hold fast to? The commandments. First, also turn over to 1 Timothy 1, verse 13. 1 Timothy 1, 13. I'm running out of time already. Wow. Woo! 2 Timothy 1, 13, I think. Okay. Page 937, where it reads, that which you have heard from me, that which you have heard from Israel Hawkins, hold fast as the pattern of sound doctrine with the faith and love in Yahshua Messiah. Now turn to 1 Thessalonians, a few pages back, chapter 5, in verse 21. He says, prove all things, hold fast that which is righteous. And remember, Deuteronomy 6:25 shows you righteousness is the keeping of Yahweh's laws as he commands, not as we see fit, but as he commands us to do them. Now I'm going to show you the second book of Israel. Y'all remember Pastor used to talk about that bulldog, right? Holding on like a bulldog. In the second book, the children's book that the great deacon just told you, or the 13th book, part 3, on page 115, I'm going to show you a picture here. This is from a sermon number 19 of all sermons in the Going On to Perfection series. Pastor says, I have told you before, you have to be like a bulldog. You have to be determined to do exactly as Yahweh says and not alter it. If you do alter, all you are doing is proving to Yahweh that you are unfit for this kingdom. If you prove yourself fit, then you will be there and you will receive the power that Satan threw away. Now, this is a promise. In the peaceful solution, by the way, in the peaceful solution also, we see this bulldog. Remember? He's like the mascot of the house of Yahweh. He's saying here, value what's positive in yourself and others. That's what we should be valuing, righteousness in ourselves, in others, and teaching this righteousness. Now, a bulldog, by the way, that word hold, you know, it means some of the synonyms. First, it means to grasp, but some of the synonyms are grip, clench, cling, hold on to, like a bulldog, like they get their teeth into something. Here's a picture of a bulldog, and this is from the American Kennel Club, and I'm going to read you a couple things about bulldogs. Now, the word bulldog originated in the British Isles. The name bull was applied because of the dog's connection with bull baiting, and bull baiting was they would take a bull, tie it up, stuff pepper in its nose, and then they would train this dog to creep up on the bull and bite into his snout and his lips, so the bull, if he didn't do it on time and the bull saw him coming, the bull would take his horns and gore him and throw him 30 feet or 40 feet into the air. So the dog, this dog has an extended lower jaw. It comes out a little further than the upper jaw, so it can get in there stealth by creeping in with stealth. Now remember, they were trained to do this. This isn't the way they are. Let me tell you how bulldogs really is. Bulldogs are recognized as excellent family pets because of their tendency to form strong bonds with children. They tend to be gentle and protective. Remember, we're supposed to be gentle, capable of teaching, being gentle and kind to one another. The breed requires minimal grooming and exercise. Remember, exercise helps a little. Their short nose makes them prone to overheating in warm weather. I lose there. So make sure to provide a shady place to rest. Well, here you are. You are in the house of Yahweh, a very shady place to rest, whose leaves are going to fill the whole earth very soon now, the branches. Okay, now, who else tells us to hold fast like a bulldog? Well, y'all remember this picture, right? Y'all very familiar with this picture. It's the Horsehead Nebula, right? Well, recently, online, NASA put up some more pictures of that nebula. 74 pictures. This is picture number 2. It's called the Astro Pick of the Day. Okay? Down, it shows a more wide-angle spectrum of the nebula. Down here in the corner, look who's looking at you. Here's Yahshua's message to you. Hold on like a bulldog. Don't let go. Now, isn't that amazing? That is your message, backing up everything that's been taught in the house of Yahweh to get a grip. Can y'all see him in that lighted version? Complete with his little collar. Hold on. He's even got a little collar on right here. It's amazing what Yahweh is doing with this great house. Now, get a grip, get to work, hold on, don't let go of this great house of Yahweh. Be like a bulldog, be determined. And I'm determined to get out of here by 10:30. Thank you, praise Yahweh, for allowing me to be in front of you again. You're all great, you're doing a great job, but keep up the great work. And at this time, I would like to present to you a great priest in Yahweh's house, the great Kohan Ilya Hawken.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Today in the news, we're going to continue to see things that pastors been bringing out for years, but now we're seeing them coming to pass. China and Russia signing a $400 billion oil bill to sell from Russia to China. And pastor said that we would see China and Russia gather together in the end. We'll see them actually team up. Also, the U.S. Supreme Court has recently put a halt on all lethal injections, and now the states are starting to approve the electric chair once again as a more humane way of killing someone. And just so you know, we didn't put it in this news, but when someone is killed with the electric chair, they say the volts are so strong it literally blows the eyes out of the socket. So that's what we're talking about as being a more humane way. Also, E. coli in the water once again in Portland, Oregon. Now, this is the third time in 5 years, and I want to read you some numbers real quick. In November 2009, 50,000 customers on the west side were brought into play with this as far as the E. coli in their water. They were affected. In 2012, 135,000 customers. This week, 670,000 customers. So we see it getting worse, but I want you to notice more than anything, the city commissioner and the other city council representatives, how they're groping in the dark for answers. And you kind of feel sorry for them that they're trying to come up with something. But he does give an answer, and listen to what he says. What kind of world would we have to get rid of these things? Also, the White House summoned the top meteorologist to the White House to discuss what's taking place with global warming and what we can do to address it. And listen to how long that's been going on. It actually says, it gives a time frame how long it's been since it's gotten worse. They say 1895, but they also give a little bit more detail, so listen to that. Also, a beef recall, 1.8 million pounds of beef being recalled back due to E. coli. And then remember the last but not least, aspartame. Pastor brought out years ago about this fake sugar and what it's doing. Well, they just recently released what the molecular structure of aspartame is and how it is made. Listen carefully, you'll see how all of these things are tying back into sodomy. At this time, if we could please play the news.
Russia and China have just signed what's being dubbed as the deal of the century. It amounts to the world's biggest gas contract worth $400 billion. RT's Katie Pilgrim reports now from Shanghai.
Yes, the multi-billion dollar deal has finally been struck here in Shanghai. There are smiles all around. There was a little bit of tension because no one quite knew if it was going to come to the compromise that both Russia and China wanted. We know that China wanted a bargain and Russia was standing firm on the price that they were asking for. So this deal entails Gazprom sending billions of dollars worth of China for the next 30 years or so, for decades to come, and it will change the face of the global gas industry as we know it. And I'm sure Europe is looking on rather cautiously at the moment because they too have been trying to diversify their trade. And this will perhaps give Europe a little less leverage in terms of pricing with Russia from now on. So that's one to watch. We know there's been tensions with sanctions going on as well. So there's politics at play involved with this deal, and that's why everyone has been involved in it. It's great timing for China because we know they've got a 1.3 billion people population, and they are gas guzzlers, the biggest consumer, and Russia has the biggest reserves of natural gas. That's what China wants to get involved with at the moment, because a huge economic expansion that China has experienced over the last three decades has come at a cost, and that cost is pollution. You can really feel it in the air. It's somewhat dirty air. It's called the smog. It's grey and misty, and they want to move towards a cleaner air, which is natural gas. It's a win-win situation at the moment, and Russia is looking eastwards. We must remember Russia is part of Europe as well as Asia. But as I say, there was a little bit of tension, but also there was confidence in the air that this deal would come through in the end. So as I say, before today, we knew the volume, we knew the route, we know that the pipelines were already in construction. We were just waiting for that all-important price.
Massive meat recall. Nearly 2 million pounds of ground beef. So many families getting ready to barbecue this Memorial Day weekend and asking, how do I know my burgers are safe? And so tonight, here's what we know right now. 11 people in four states have gotten sick. Contaminated beef traced to 12 states in all. And we put a list of the grocery stores now up at abcnews.com. But in the meantime, our chief medical editor, Dr. Richard Besser, back here tonight with the states we're most concerned about.
That's right. So as you said, USDA is putting a list out now of the retail stores that may have sold this. Take a look at this map. They range all the way from Florida up to Massachusetts across to North Dakota. They were sold there March to May, so it's probably not in the stores now. My concern is it may be in some freezers.
In some freezers. But if you think you might have gone to any of these stores,
you want to throw it out. And if you have beef in your freezer, whenever you're making burgers, cook it all the way through. Pink doesn't do. It has to be well done.
All right, Rich, thanks to you as always.
The southern state of Tennessee has made the controversial choice to bring back the electric chair. Now, eight states do already have the chair as an option, although it is very rarely used. And lawmakers in Wyoming, meanwhile, are looking to reintroduce death by firing squad. I'm joined now via Skype from Washington by Richard Dieter. He is the executive director of the Death Penalty Information Center, a nonprofit that tracks death penalty issues. What are your concerns when it comes to, like Tennessee, for example, bringing back the electric chair? Is that an option to the not perfect lethal injection?
It's a real step backwards, and I think might hasten the demise of the death penalty, because the electric chair as a mandatory punishment is in use in no other state. Only lethal injection is allowed in all the other states. And so this is going to face legal challenges, public scrutiny, and international scrutiny as well.
Well, if the electric chair attracts scrutiny, heaven forbid a firing squad.
Well, actually, some people have recommended firing squad as perhaps more humane. I think these all are sort of aside from the fact that any method of execution can go wrong, can be brutal, can be torturous in the way it's carried out. But the electric chair, just by its very nature, attaching electrodes to the head and arms and feet and firing 2,000 volts through a person, that's so antiquated and so obviously that if it were occurring in any other country, people here would be outraged and call it torture.
And there will certainly be people watching this who think we've done too little or not enough. And they are entitled to that view. But the reality is this is a heavily regulated area of our water quality. And we have specific guidelines we follow working with bodies that regulate us. And we have virtually no discretion once of these kind of tests. And again, I hope our customers and the public understand that we err on the side of public health. And we, look, in a perfect world, tomorrow morning, we'll be able to announce to Portland that we can stand down. That would be wonderful. But until we've done further testing, we can't say that. We're painfully aware that we're going into a holiday weekend and that this is an inconvenience for people. We regret that, but we're also guided by good science and regulations, and we're doing what we think is prudent and necessary to protect public health.
Terminology gets in our way sometimes. E. coli is a giant family with lots of cousins and relatives. It's only used here as just a marker of fecal contamination. Per se, it doesn't make you sick at all. All of your bodies are full of literally trillions of E. coli right now. So it's just a marker. It's not an actual illness bacteria that can make you sick. But if there's fecal contamination in the water, the logic is that there could be other things besides that marker organism, and that's the reason for the cautious approach.
The question was, is this the largest boil water notice we've had? And I just had to confirm with Chris that the previous two were limited to the west side. So, yes, the answer is yes. It's all of our retail customers and many of our wholesale customers.
The president is going to be issuing really a call for action later today when he sits down with a group of meteorologists from around the country, trying to get the word out that the weather for this country is going to be getting worse and worse over the coming decades as a result of man-made climate change. Here's the report right here. We even have it in color for you, Kate. This is the new National Climate Assessment from the White House. It's up on the website globalchange.gov right now, and it talks about what the country can expect over the coming decades if action is not taken right away. Here are some of the warnings from this White House in this report that sea levels will rise 1 to 4 feet by the year 2100, that intense heat waves and droughts in the Southwest are on the way, an increase in storm intensity and rainfall rates, and even ice-free summers in the Arctic Ocean over the coming decades if nothing is done. The White House already pointing out that temperatures have gone up at least or almost 2 degrees since the year 1895, but that most of that has occurred in the last 30 or 40 years. So they're trying to really drive home the point that there's really an urgent case for action. And you hear the president talking about that later today when he sits down for those interviews. But as you know, Kate, this is fraught with politics. Republicans accusing the president of waging a war on coal, and a lot of nervous Democrats running for reelection who wish this president would do more on the side of developing energy resources in this country and not really going after climate change so much.
Here's the truth about your diet soda. It tastes like crap because it's made from crap. Genetically modified organism feces, to be specific. I'm talking about the synthetic sweetener aspartame. The patent for it is now online for everyone to see how it's actually made. And it's actually made from the poop of GM bacteria. Here's how it's made specifically. Genetically modified E. coli bacteria are cultivated in tanks. They defecate proteins that contain aspartic acid phenylalanine amino acid segments. That feces is collected and then treated through many chemical processes, including methylation, which adds the toxic alcohol methanol to the mix. Presto, aspartame is made. So if you like that unique chemical taste of aspartame and don't mind eating bacteria feces, it means you are free to consume so many foods and not worry about ingesting any calories, God forbid. Aspartame is in your breath mints, cereal, chewing gum, flavored water, ice creams, coffee syrups, juice drinks, power bars, pudding, ketchup, yogurt, vegetable drinks, candy, and pretty much anything that has the word diet in its name. And that includes, of course, Diet Coke. Interestingly enough, Coca-Cola has just spent a lot of money to produce ads telling you how safe aspartame is. In their ad, they say that the safety of aspartame is supported by more than 200 studies over the last 40 years. As sources, they list the Beverage Institute and the International Food Information Council Foundation. Coca-Cola owns the former, and the U.S. government is a partner for the latter. For further information about the safety of aspartame, you can visit aspartame.org, which is owned by the Calorie Control Council, which is an international association that represents the food and beverage industry. In other words, the safety information about this sweetener poop is controlled by those who profit most from it. Hardly unbiased. Meanwhile, there are hundreds of studies which link aspartame to leukemia, lymphoma, other cancers, liver damage, you name it. So if you're trying to decide whether or not you should ingest aspartame, consider using this as a rule of thumb. If it's literally made from chemically altered GMO crap, it might be crappy for your body. Tonight, let's talk about that by following me on Twitter at The Resident.
If everyone would please stand, I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisroel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone! Oh, you're looking great. Oh, wow, that's beautiful. Oh, praise Yahweh. You may be seated. I told you to get rid of those poo-poo sweeteners. So, and now you actually know. This is really great. The science is finding out this, isn't it? Couldn't come at a better time. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We've got some great things. We're in the last part of the last prophesied present generation. The press release, this shows a great interest in the House of Yahweh, Yisroel Hawkins. What we did, they took our website. Yisroel Hawkins changes his website. I didn't think this would get much, but this week it shows what his life is really about. Has been about, they show 40 years. It was actually 52 years. If you want to get that in your mind, it's prophesied. But 52 years ago, J.G. Hawkins and Bill Hawkins opened the first broadcast in Eastland, Texas. We got fruits from that broadcast. In fact, when we built the sanctuary in Abilene on TNP Lane, people came there who had heard that first show from J.G. Hawkins and Yisroel Hawkins. It was a question and answer show. J.G. would ask the questions and Bill Hawkins would answer the questions. Opposing Babylon. That was first start of the opposing of Babylon. Praise Yahweh. Well, apparently that interests a lot of people, because it's already up to over 46,000 news medias running the thing right now. yes, Business Byway is one of the news medias that's running it, and on their website, the Mercury News from Silicon Valley, that is, I remember this news media, a large news media, covers just about all of California. Travel Weekly magazine, this is a great time for that, because they take these traveling magazines with them as they go on their vacation, so when they get bored, they have the travel magazine to read, fall back on. That's a Travel Weekly magazine. That is a large news media. The one before this, Yisrael Hawkins and Malik Obama meeting at Spring Conference on Peace concerning the rebuilding of the temple and further unity between religions was a huge success. It's a huge success in the news media, too. It's over 80,000 news medias running this. Yes. The one before this, Yisrael Hawkins says Pope Francis Pope Francis's confession falls on deaf ears. That's over 85,000. Over 85,000 news media is running that. So we are getting the truth out, and Yahweh has stirred up an interest for it. The news that you just got, boy, this is great. You need to keep it in your mind. It is very important that you keep it in your mind. What is taking place, what you're seeing here, because it shows we're in this last generation. Not only the last generation, but the last portion of the last generation. So we have very little time left here. The world is getting sicker and sicker. The house of Yahweh, if you'll listen closely, I'll show you. I can't explain it fully because I don't want the enemy to understand it, but I'll show you, and then you can ask some others later. But Yahweh made plans for his house, and we can see that totally. I told you the date of that broadcast is actually given in the Holy Scriptures as opposing Babylon, and I'll get around to showing you that one. Local officials, Portland, Oregon, officials warn of E. coli in tap water. Now, this of course, is one of the cities that they warned you of. How many cities has got it in their water and is not warning the people of it? It's all over the world now. In fact, I've just shown an article. I didn't get it because it wasn't highlighted, but they're saying the World Health Organization now is saying drug-resistant bacteria is now global. It is all over the world now. And there's nothing they can do about it. It's like the solar ice cap melting. There's nothing they can do about it now. If they'd have started 52 years ago, when we first started warning them of these things, they could have done something about it. But they didn't take the warning. They got the warning, though, and that's number one on our side. Local officials in Portland, Oregon, issued a citywide boil notice after state health department detected a strain of E. coli in the water. Where's it coming from? What is doing this? Why is this spreading all over the world like this in this time period when Yahshua said it's going to be the worst you have ever seen? The worst that history has ever seen. That's what your Savior told you. And now it's the worst that history has ever seen. How did he know this was going to take place? The warning the largest in the city's history, impacts about 770,000 residents and will remain in effect until further notice. The Portland Water Bureau said residents should boil all tap water for drinking, food preparation, toothbrushing, and ice for at least 1 minute before use, of course. Ice or any beverage prepared with unboiled tap water on or after Tuesday, May 20th, should be declared. Both reservoirs linked to positive samples will be emptied, flushed, and refilled. City officials are currently investigating the cause of contamination. They still don't know the cause, or maybe they don't want to admit the cause, but anyway, they're saying they don't know the cause. It's like they don't know the cause of global warming. CDC warns of common parasites plaguing millions in U.S. These microscopic creatures are typically picked up through food and water, and an infection can lead to serious health problems, including seizures, blindness, pregnancy complications, heart failure, and even death. Listen to me, everyone. If you got a backyard swimming pool of any kind, a baby pool or whatever, a dog pool, a chicken pool. I've seen people go out and dig holes in the ground so they could have a duck swimming in it in their backyard. If you got a septic system like this that can't change its diaper, your ducks and your chickens, they track it out on the ground. Your children take it in the house where grandmama is dying of respiratory problems. And of course, you don't know it, but you're killing the people around you. You're making your own people sick. Get rid of the stuff. Get it out of your backyard. Clean your backyard up. And know that it's going to get worse if you don't. Don't live like the world. This is some stupid stunt the world would do. Get rid of it. Clean it up. What's it to you? All it does is cost you money, big money. If you want to join us in raising livestock, let us know. We got plenty of room for you. And we'll show you how to do it properly, kosherly, where it'll be fit to eat and won't poison your grandmother or your children. Oh, please, start using some sense here. You've got to. The world is getting sicker every day. U.S. investigates multi-state E. coli outbreak. Multi-state. It just keeps getting worse and worse. Yes. Don't be a part of it. If you be a part of it, you'll burn in hell with them. Cleanse the outside. Cleanse the inside, too. But cleanse the outside. Recall beef may have been sent to stores in 10 states. Federal food safety officials say ground beef recalled by a Detroit company earlier this week may have been sent to stores in 10 states. Now they're recalling it. How many hamburgers would that make? How many hamburgers was eaten before they started recalling it? How much got by? How much of it was tainted before they even found this one in the hamburger meat? E. coli outbreak linked to sprouts, humus? Oh boy, somebody's in trouble. You better find a way of making this humus. Dips, all kinds of dips, walnuts recalled. 7 confirmed and 3 likely cases of E. coli infected linked to raw clover sprouts. This had to be in the seed. And, of course, it's a mystery. It's a mystery how it got there, of course. They'll find out one of these days and they'll break the news to you, maybe. real mystery, but if it's in the sprout, if it's in the sprout, I don't know if you've ever sprouted seeds and eaten the sprouts. I've seen people that didn't even wash the sprouts that take them right out of the sprouter and eat them, which is also a bad habit. You know, it's like letting your children come to the table after they've played out in the backyard where ducks have taken their poo-poo and their, for that from dogs and cats and whatever wants to prowl around that pool of a night. You know, it's sickening. You'd really need to wake up to this before you die. Gallery. Drought hits Lake Abilene hard, as lake nearly completely dry. If you're out driving around and you see signs saying, pray for rain, they're getting more popular. They're printing them now and selling them by the thousands. Anyway, take me some pictures of that if you can. We want to use them. I remember seeing one in front of a church. I'd like to have that one. That was the preacher asking the people who drive back and forth down the street to pray for rain. I thought it was the religious leader that was supposed to be praying. Something's kind of cockeyed here some way, don't you think? Like this whole world? Lake Abilene water levels have dwindled over the last few years. Now the lake is little more than a puddle. A puddle. And move that to my backyards for my ducks to play in. Well, talk about filth. This is important now. This praying for rain, and if we could get this, I keep wanting to make some signs, you know, why aren't your prayers answered? Let's turn over to Isaiah 59. Why aren't your prayers answered? Or maybe drop one of those. No, don't taunt them. So I say, put a tape a booklet to it. Why aren't your prayers answered today? Why? Well, of course, everything you're doing is wrong. You've got the firmament screwed up big time. We've got the firmament to where it can't do its job. We've been telling people for years what is causing this problem, what's causing the global warming. The scripture shows plainly what we're doing to cause this global warming is sin. Sin is the breaking of Yahweh's laws. Now, what laws could we possibly be breaking that would get into the firmament and float around in the firmament in our atmosphere? You know, there's where they're finding AIDS. They're finding all kinds of bacteria, including E. coli bacteria. They're finding all kinds of STDs in our firmament now. Can you not blink the two together? Microorganisms cause rain. That's what the way Yahweh set it up. He created the firmament for man. The kingdom, microorganism kingdoms of microorganisms, they are the ones that tell you, that adjust the firmament and let you get just the right amount of sun through that firmament so you won't die from overexposure of the sun. That's how important the firmament is. You got that? Praise Yahweh. Now, the next thing comes the rainfall. The firmament actually causes raindrops to form and to fall slowly. And if they can't do their job well, they'll dump about 15 feet of water or 15 inches of water, 15-day supply of water in one day or 7 hours or something like this. You're seeing this on the news constantly now. You're seeing where the floods, yes, the rains came in places, and it washed everything away, tore down buildings, floated half a mountain down a mountainside. This is what we're getting because our firmament is sick. It can't do its job because of the sins. We've reached into the heavens with our sins. Sins, our sins have caused the STDs that are floating around in the firmament at this time, making the kingdoms of microorganisms sick. That's the reason they're not doing their job. The preachers are hoping, by putting up these signs, hoping that somebody will pray, I guess, to a God to get some answers to bring them some rain. Now, what if it don't come? Make plans for that. You're talking about making long-range plans. What if it don't come? What if the firmament is so sick that it won't produce any rain at all? It's still trying. It's sick, it's trying. Even on its deathbed, it's trying to produce you some rain. It's having a difficult time of doing so, but it's still trying to produce rain for the earth, because Yahweh set it in motion to do just that. We know, we already know that it's STDs that's killing off the coral reef in the ocean. It's also killing a bunch of other stuff in the ocean that's causing a lot of other stuff that are forming right now to bring big time death to the ocean. Turning the water to blood, that means death. In the blood is the life. Turning it to death, big time. You think that won't take place? I know it's going to take place. You know why I know? Just a little bit of thinking and looking at those scriptures that have already come to pass. And Yahshua knew this. I'll show you where he protects you. I'll show you where he made plans, long-range plans, when he was building the earth to make sure you were protected in the protected place. Hopefully in this sermon. Well, here it's plain to see that the reason your prayers are not answered. Behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your own iniquities. Iniquity is doing away with the law. The law says, teach your children, first go to the house, learn what the house teaches, teach your children. Now, if you don't do this, you're a hypocrite. You know, we're putting it out here from the house. If you don't teach your child, or if you teach your child against the house, you're a hypocrite, you're a thief, you're a murderer, you're all of these things. You're murdering your children by not teaching, by not obeying this law. That's right. Puts you in a pretty bad position, doesn't it? Only if you want to be rebellious. If you want to be rebellious and not do it, you know, then you can go ahead and go with the rest of the gods, and they will promise you, though they can't produce it, eternal life. Yahweh alone has eternal life. That's what the witnesses are for, to make sure all the world knows that Yahweh alone can give eternal life. He's the only one that can answer prayer. Yes. He's the only one that has life, period. In verse 2, your own iniquities have separated you from the Father, from your Father, and your own sins have caused him to hide his face from you, so he will not listen. Let's look over to another scripture in First Kefa. He kind of brings it home to this time period, First Kefa 3. And look at verse 12. He says, for the eyes of Yahweh are on the righteous. On the righteous. The righteous are the ones that's teaching the peaceful solution, character education to their children. Teaching them. When they rise up, when they walk by the way, when they eat a meal together, everything. You know, I used to do that, and I thought, everything is going to be all right now. I'm going to produce children for Yahweh. What I didn't know was there was a woman after I left that says, do whatever he tells you to do when he's here, and when he's gone, then we'll do what we want to do. Now, what kind of chance does a child have in that kind of atmosphere? A kingdom divided. Well, it came through loud and clear. This lesson came through loud and clear. I think we have it beat now. I think we're set up the way Yahweh wants it. But the eyes of Yahweh are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of Yahweh is against those who do evil. Remember that word evil? Where would you find that? That word evil. Well, Genesis 3:5. Learn the way of the gods. Practice the way of the gods, which is evil. You'll be like the gods. You won't be made like Yahweh, but you'll be made like the gods. If you don't teach what you're taught in the house of Yahweh, or if you teach against this to your wife or to your children, you're a liar. The truth is not in you. You won't be in the kingdom. That's a simple fact. Know you not that the unrighteous are not going to inherit that kingdom? Know that for sure. In verse 11, let him turn away from evil. Evil, that's being like the gods, following the way of the gods. Let him turn away from evil and do righteousness. But I thought you said all we had to do was believe. You lying hypocrites. And you put a sign out in front of your church saying, please pray so we can have some rain. Our prayers are not being answered here, is what they're saying. We're a bunch of liars. We're a bunch of hypocrites. And Yahweh's face is turned against us. That's what they're saying when they stick that sign out there to somebody, hoping somebody will come by. Maybe he's a hermit somewhere that'll come by. Or maybe he's a traveler that's got a sack on his back, and maybe he's homeless, but maybe he'll have his prayers answered. Maybe this is what you're looking for, right? Think of all the things you're saying when you stick that sign out in front of your church. Well, of course, your prayers aren't being answered, and here's the reason why they're not being answered. And Yahweh will have nothing to do with you. No, your prayers won't be answered. You won't repent. That's what Yahweh is saying to you. You're not going to repent. You know, you'll live in sin afraid. You haven't got guts enough to repent. You're gutless. You're gritless. You don't have any true grit. This is where you're standing right now. Why don't you admit it? Why don't you admit that you're wrong? Why don't you admit that your prayers are not being answered? And why don't you look in your Bible and see what it says? You know, you're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, Yeshua, who said you need to believe, yes, Luke 24:25, there's a little more to it than believe. You're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken, including Isaiah 58, Isaiah 59. Isaiah 58 tells you, turn your foot from my holy Sabbath. Stop breaking my Sabbath. You know you're not keeping Yahweh's Sabbath. All of you churches that's got to pray for signs, pray for signs in front of your house. Turn over to Isaiah before we leave this, because Yahweh is Isaiah 43. Isaiah is showing the group here. Now, I want everybody to get this. Everybody better get this. Yahweh is showing a group here that he calls to a protected place in the west. Yes, names the location. He names it more than that. It started with the ends of the earth in the west. Everybody recognizes what the West is and the East is. That's the one thing they all agree on, if they just agree on the scriptures that go with it. Well, Isaiah 43, let's look at verse 1, and you can see who it's speaking about. Verse 1, Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, this is what Yahweh says. Who created you, O Jacob, whose name was first JG. 52 years ago, it was JG. I know people put out lies about that and said, no, his name had always been Jacob. They're liars. The truth is not in them. They're hypocrites, too. They can't stop the gall from coming from their mouth. So they spread their lies trying to deceive. There's no other reason why they would spread lies like that. But the records show that his name was JG at that time. It also shows how Yahweh actually changed his name himself, caused duress to take place that would actually cause the name to be changed. But now, this is what Yahweh says, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. You are mine. Believe it or not. When you pass through the waters, if you are familiar with the translation or rendering from words from the scriptures, and letting the scripture interpret the scriptures, you'll know that this many waters that we're passing through is peoples, multitudes, nations, tongues. Now, he's speaking to the two witnesses here, and he's saying, when you pass through the waters, the peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, I will be with you through the rivers. They will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor will the flame kindle upon you. You see the protection he's saying that he's got to set up, that he's already set up in advance to take care of this work and the people who do the work. For I am Yahweh, your Father, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for your price, because you were precious in my sight, you have been honorable, and I have loved you, so I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west or in the west. Look on over to verse 7, on down to verse 7. Everyone that is called with my name. Everyone. Now, remember, to name the name of Yahweh, you must depart from sin. So, everyone that departs from sin, then repents and is converted, every one of you I have created for my glory. I have formed, yes, I have made them. So he's telling you right here, showing you a people that he's gathering from the east, the north, the south, to the west, to a place in the west where there is protection. Bring forth the blind people who have eyes, and the deaf people who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the peoples be assembled. Who among them can declare this? Now, he puts everyone here on the spot, including the preachers that have the signs in front of their churches, pray so we can have some rain. We're having to put the poo-poo back in our water to have something to drink. It's getting pretty bad. It's getting their attention. I'm not lying. That's what they're doing. Russia Today, they actually said it. You know, the state of Texas, the poo-poo state. They're putting it back in their water supply, they said. You think it's clean? You better read the news if you do. You better start looking to another source, maybe one that Yahweh planned in advance when he was forming the earth. Who among them can declare this? Who can prophesy? Who can foretell this? Who can bring light to this subject right here? Who has been bringing it for 52 years? And who can show us former things? You know, even the history is so screwed up that if you're not inspired and you don't know the Holy Scriptures, you know, you'll wander down 10 different paths with 10 different answers in history. The genetics, you know, I told you last week, it's so screwed up, people, especially the Herod house. The Herod house, they wanted every child to be listed among the keys of this blood. What a laugh. And here down through the centuries, they say, oh, yes, this man, he's listed right here. Yes, we can deify this man. Let's do what he says. Let's follow him. You know, from beginning to end, nothing but a bunch of lies. From every angle, it's nothing but a bunch of lies that Satan has put there. Show us former things. Who can do that? Let them bring forth their witnesses so they may be justified. You know, the Vatican's been sitting on the seven hills of Rome for how many years? Don't know? They still don't know where they came from. Well, it seemed like there was a she-wolf that raised two boys. One of them killed the other one. And the other one built this city here, the Vatican. That's the lie they're telling you. That makes about as much sense as Santa Claus coming down the chimney, right? Or the Easter bunny laying colored eggs? They got to make them lay them inside the building now because of the weather. They don't want to get sunburnt. Oh man, that's a bad one. Justified. Or let them hear and acknowledge this is the truth. Why don't you do that? You guys that's got your signs in front of your churches. Why don't you admit that's what Yahweh is saying? You can't do it. You can't tell us former things. All you could do is read a history book and you'd be so confused after you read it because you'd get 10 different answers. Well, it could have been this. It probably was that person that came over the mountain. Well, there was a group of them living over here somewhere, I think, not too far from here. All the smoke that they blow in the history books and then genetic books. Well, the truth. Say, this is the truth. Why don't you do this? You are my witnesses, Yahweh says. Yahweh and my servants, whom I have chosen. So he's speaking of the witnesses here, as you can plainly see. You are my witnesses, so you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no gods, period. You want to be like the gods and follow Satan? Well, they're not going to be hereafter. There's no gods before him, neither there will be when his plan is finished, and we are the finishing stages of his plan. He, there was no god formed, nor will there be, they put after, that is, it means with or alongside of me. There's simply not going to be any gods, period. Verse 11, I, Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior. Beside Yahweh, there is no Savior. praise Yahweh, we should give Yahshua credit. But Yahshua without us will not make it. Now, if his plan doesn't come through, if Satan could stop his plan, all of the plan for mankind would be off. But Satan can't stop his plan. This is the important thing that you've got to know. Before the enemy came up with her plot, Yahweh had already planned to take care of that plot thousands of years, millions of years in advance. You cannot beat, you cannot fight wisdom like that. Yahweh can tell you what's going to go on in 1962. He can put it, have his prophets write about it thousands of years before that. 1962. And it comes to pass. In the last days, speaking of the last generation, I will establish my house. Hey, idiot. In the last days, last generation, I will establish my house. What do you think you're sitting in now? You who say, I don't believe. Well, I don't believe this. Well, you know, look at where you're, what you're saying to yourself. I haven't got sense enough. I don't even have sense enough to see that this person is prophesying the future. It's come to pass. Now, I haven't got sense enough to look at this and say, yes, it's come to pass even. I am that stupid. That's what you're saying to yourself. He's saying, I'm the only one that can foretell the future. He foretells the future. And he says to you, Dumbo, who's too stupid to say, oh, here, yes, I see what you mean. Yes, I'm sitting in his house. Wow. This was written thousands of years ago. And he says, I'll establish my house. His house wasn't here for 1,500 years. It was gone. It was destroyed. It was wiped out. Have you got sense enough to read history and see that? Are you too stupid to see that? You're pretty stupid, right? If you can't see that, you're pretty stupid. And you're teaching your children? And your wife? How many others are you teaching? You really got to be proud of yourself, right? Because you're too stupid to see that Yahweh prophesied future in advance, thousands of years ago. And it came to pass. We're in it. This is it. The house of Yahweh, established in this present prophesied generation. It's here. It's here to stay. Like the book of Yahweh, it's back and it's here to stay. Now, if Babylon has killed every group before us, why didn't they succeed in killing us? They were going to. I was told by a judge in town that they were going to. Yes. Who was a friendly acquaintance at that time. That they were fixing to move in on us and the Branch Davidians at the same time. I said, why? He said, because they don't like it when you tell them they're wrong. And I said, well, I've got a job to do, so I'm going to go ahead doing it. Well, here in verse 12 now, I have declared and I have saved and I have showed and no strange God with me. No, the gods can't do this. The gods can't bring you rain. Therefore, you are my witnesses. You're my witnesses. This is what you should be witnessing, dummy. You should be witnessing that no one on the face of the earth can prophesy anything in advance and let it come to pass and have it come to pass. Bring it about. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says Yahweh, that I am Yahweh. That's you. That's you, brethren. Let's look on down to verse 19. I'm not going to explain this fully because of the fact that the enemies have ears. But you can get it anyway. In verse 19, now remember all I brought up to before this. I'm going to bring you to a protected place. Here's people drinking their own urine now at this time. This was prophesied. You're going to have the worst famine ever for this time. Did you get that? Matithiah 24. He says, verse 7, you're going to have the worst. You got to put verse 21 and 22 with verse 7. Yes, you're going to have the worst diseases. Well, science just got through telling you. I just got through reading you the article. How did Yahweh know this? Surely, even a dummy like me could figure that one out. How did Yahweh know that there would be worse diseases than history has ever dealt with, and the World Health Organization wringing its hands and saying, we don't know what to do. It's resistant to everything. We have nowhere to go. There's no place we can go to from here. Yeah, there's a protected place. A protected place where people are healed. They come out better than what they started with before they got sick. Praise Yahweh. They're healed inside and out. And he's saying, you're my witnesses, which puts you in a particular spot at a particular time in the last days. Are you listening? In the last days, I will establish my house. He shows that somebody is going to do that. The one called Yisrael, who is also called the branch out of the two olive trees. He will branch out and he'll establish my house in the last day. Well, Satan has succeeded in killing off all the houses. What has she got worried about? When she killed the disciples, the Apostle Kephas, the last record of anything we have that said, Bayit Yahweh, that I know of, they destroyed him, hung him upside down on a stake. They burnt the branch Davidians to death, building and all. Yes? Here, this is in this generation. This surely couldn't take place in America. All he was doing was keeping the feast. But he made the mistake of using the name Yahweh also. Well, Satan had set it up in advance to get rid of people like that. You don't use the name of Yahweh. As they said, and it was recorded by Jeremiah for a prophecy, you use the name Yahweh anymore and we will kill you. Well, they did. They wiped out the last thing, the temple. First they changed its name. That didn't help. And then they wiped it out. Yahweh said, I will establish my house in the last days, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now that's the difference in the house of Yahweh and the branch Davidians. And the people from other places that found out the name. Well, here we are. And Yahweh says here, I'm showing you former things. I'm the only one that can show you former things to come. I can show you the past and I can show you the things in the future. I'm the only one that can do it. That's what he says. Now, in the last days, Daniel said, he said, I looked and I saw two people on that future day teaching. Well, that should tell you there's two people, two witnesses. The books were closed, but in the future, Yahweh said, on a future day teaching, and I saw two. And one of them actually wears linen and lifts up his hands to Yahweh when he prayed. He even gave you some details of this, of this man. Then Zechariah went further and says, he's going to be joined with a high priest named Yeshua, who is the son of Yahweh. And he's going to branch out and establish. He didn't just say build. He said establish the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh, the word establish means is supported and supported by the government in what nation it stands. But this man is going to branch out and he's going to establish the house of Yahweh. In the last days, I will establish my house. They're both the same prophecy, right? Established by the witness called the branch, called the olive branch, the olive tree. And in Revelations, it says in 11, I will give power to my two witnesses. Well, who are they? He says, these are the two olive trees. These are the two olive trees. Well, where do you find that? Believe what the prophets have spoken. Can you imagine a worldly person and trying to figure this one out? And then he says, Yeshua says, in this time period now, surely you'll believe this when he says there's going to be famine. There's going to be a lack of rainfall. There's going to be drought. And lo and behold, here it is. It says people are going to be drinking their own urine. Well, how in the world could he know that? And why would a person drink his own urine? Well, we're at that stage right now. And Yahweh says, I foretold this. And then Yeshua said, this is going to be the worst famine ever. Famine. People are going to be starving to death. Yahweh said it in advance. Yeshua said it in advance. It's here. Why wouldn't you believe it? No reason not to believe it. Unless you're just a fool. And we know that he's speaking of the two witnesses. We see that in verse 1. Yahweh says, I'm the only one that can foretell. I'm Yahweh. And these two men are going to bring glory to my name because they're going to know from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. And right away we have a group of people. Well, does the sun really rise or set? Now, boy, that is really important, isn't it? Wow. Is the earth really round? Man, there's so many things I could contemplate on here. You know? Well, I got to tell my wife about this one. Do you really fall off if the earth is flat and you go so far? Do you really fall off of it? Well, where do you go to? Where do you fall to? Does it have gravity there where you fall off? So the gravity is somewhere else. It's not here on earth. It's not holding you to the earth. Is there really a thing called a microorganism that you can't see, but you're breathing it in your mouth and in your nose and then so forth? Is that really true? Do you believe that? Has Yahweh said? I mean, these are the important things now you need to dwell on, you know. as Barack Obama said, maybe now that I've shown my birth certificate, maybe we can go on to some more important things. Like, did we really put a man on the moon? I think that puts some politicians out of business. But we have people now who, instead of getting their mind on the scripture and seeing what a beautiful prophecy this is, it's actually come to pass. He's gathering people here. He's actually gathering people to a famine. Well, here now we have people coming out of Egypt. They come to a what? What'd they come to? A desert land. Where Jacob didn't build no wells. He didn't put no wells in the ground here. How is this 3 million people going to get water from one well? Here's a few shepherds that are fighting over this well right now. Now get this in your mind. I'm telling you this for a reason. Moshe brought water out of the rock. Remember that? Well, it wasn't Moshe. That's your first mistake. Yahweh had planned before the earth was to put water where they could get it, running water, yes, for his people, so they could what? Build a city, build machinery, build weapons of war for Israel? No. He built all of this showing Israel, the land of Israel, you've got to believe in me. You've got to trust in me and know that I am the provider. I'll tell you the future. Yes. I'll tell you the future and I'll guard you and keep you. And when you walk through the rivers of water and the crowds of people that hate you, and you'll be hated of all people for my name's sake, but you will not be hurt. I'm going to be there to protect you. Now, you've seen all of this with your eyes. You've actually seen it with your eyes. So you wouldn't even have a chance in hell, as a snowball in hell, to use a flimsy excuse and say, I didn't believe. You just here and watched it. Were you asleep all that time? Well, Yahweh showed you. He showed Israel. He brought water from the rock, something that's still talked about today. Now read verse 19. Everybody, read it. And see what he's done for you today. In the place of safety, because the drought is getting worse. The famines are getting worse. They're going to be the worst in history. Verse 19, I'll do a new thing. It won't be bringing it from a rock now, but I'm going to do a new thing here. Now it will spring forth. Will you not know it? Yes, you'll know it. You'll be able to see it. If you'll just open your eyes, you can see it right now. If you can't, ask Kohan Nearya or Deacon Tovia, either one. They'll explain it to you. Will you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. Well, we're in the wilderness right now. And Yahshua said, you're going to see famine. You're going to see people falling by the thousands. That's what Psalms 91 tells you. But it won't come near you because you got the shadow of Yahweh. Listen to me. It's got the shadow. You got Yahweh's shadow. His shadow is his feast days, his appointed days over you. That's how Yahweh knows that you belong to him. Yes. Keep my Sabbath. And you will know that it is me who sets you apart. If you keep my Sabbath. If you don't keep my Sabbath, and you don't keep them like Yahshua trained us to keep the Sabbath according to the law, then no, you won't be there. You won't make it. Everybody's going to fall, and they'll fall by the thousands, by the tens of thousands. You're going to see that too. But Yahweh says it won't come near you. Well, I hear there's plenty of water up in Portland, Oregon. Why don't we move up there? I hear that contaminated. Oh, contaminated. Well, I never thought of that, huh? So where do we run? Where do we go to from here? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will honor me. I heard the grullets singing. I think that's what they're called this morning. They're a blackbird. I don't know if you heard it, but it's beautiful, beautiful. It's out here all over the campground, and they were singing so beautifully. They were singing so loud at the cafeteria and the bakery. Y'all heard that? They had trouble taking orders. The birds were singing to them so loud. Yes. Well, Yahweh is talking about feeding wildlife here as well as you. Give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to who? Who? Did you read that? Read it for yourself there. Read it in your Bible, in your book of Yahweh. It's in Isaiah 43. Read it. Everybody read that verse 20. Isaiah 43, verse 20. You see that? Remember the water from the rock. Remember everything the children of Israel went through coming to the promised land. It wasn't actually the land of Israel that was the promised land, but they'll wake up and find that out one of these days. That's where they had Yahweh had to put them to teach them some horrible lessons that they'll never forget. And of course, the land was divided by lot, but it won't be given to them. They have nowhere to go. The land, the promised land. Blessed are those who keep His laws, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the kingdom. That is the promised land, brother. It's never changed. Well, my people, my chosen, look at that. Desert, to give drink to my people. Oh, isn't that beautiful? This people I've formed for myself, they will show forth, proclaim my praise. We're the only ones on the face of the earth that's doing that. They will show forth, they will bring praise to Yahweh. That is such a beautiful thing, and it's all written for Yahweh's chosen in a time period when we're going to have the worst famine ever in history. We're going to have the worst wars ever. When the famine is over, that won't stop there. That is, when the people are dying of famine, the wars are going to go on. They're going to get worse. Nuclear wars are going to be included in this. I don't know if you read where China and Russia made $400 billion gas agreement. Now this ties them together pretty strongly, $400 billion. So they're tied together pretty strongly, and they've got to protect their allies. Well, of course, we knew this was coming. We knew that several others are going to be included in this. It's going to come against the United States. Russia, at one time, they had submarines off the shores of America. They said they could have wiped out every major city and every major fuel supply, power supply, they said. They knew that from where they were sitting, they knew that, and of course, they gave that information to their people. they know this. They're maneuvering. They're not scared. They're not scared. And they're all depending on first strike. When this thing comes, they're all depending on first strike, including the United States. So they're set up to take the so-called enemy down. Well, they're all set up to take each other down. The war won't last that long, the nuclear war. It's the hereafter, the nuclear war, that's really going to be devastating to the people. The blast will kill so many percent of the people. Then the rest of the people, the huge amount of people that's going to die, will come from the aftermath of this nuclear war. It's what the famine hasn't starved to death at that time. Starvation is an ugly thing. And, of course, you can see this on the news, and when they show pictures of this, and people, even in today's world, they're starving right now, but that is getting worse. And as the food supply diminishes and becomes less productive, then the famines will pick up and it'll get worse. But what that doesn't kill, Revelation 9 shows, and Revelation 6, the quartet is coming through with their nuclear wars, which they are going to try now. What their plans are, as Malachi Martin said, they're going to try to wipe out all the other God worshipers, the ones that don't worship Mary. And of course, Mary, the others are going to try to wipe out all the ones that worship Mary. So there's a huge hatred, a witch's brew that is boiling right now. And of course, you're going to see this. You're going to see it. Yahweh says you are. But it won't come near you. It won't come near you if you will do as the apostle said in that same book there, the book that Shaul wrote to Timothy. That in that same book, he shows true grit. As the elder here was showing this morning, this is true grit. Get a hold like a bulldog and hang on. But don't think of the former things, Yahweh said. Don't think of that. Don't think of all the killing that's taken place. Don't let that worry you at all. Just concentrate on overcoming evil, overcoming God worship. Concentrate on that. Concentrate on your own faults, your own unbeliefs. Get busy to studying. Go and get you some help if you still have unbelief. Sit down there with them. Go to the priest and then start doing what he says, and then maybe you can start believing again, if that's the predicament you're in right now. To those who are out in radio land, I know that I'm talking to people now all over the world. To those who are out there, you need to start making plans to get to the house. This is not going to be, this space that we're seeing right now is not going to last long. It could start at any minute now. I could tell you when I expect it to start, but I won't. But get ready right now. Start getting ready right now to get yourself to this house of Yahweh. That is the protected place. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.